Good morning. This morning's Bible reading, titled The Empty Tomb, this account is found in John chapter 20, verses 1 to 18, which is found on pages 880 in your pew Bibles. John 20, 1 to 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from the scripture that Jesus had risen from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent and looked into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her.
Well, it's always a joy and slightly daunting to bring God's word to a place where I've grown up and for people that I love very much. So let's start by praying. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to open your word together. Help me as I speak. We know that your word does not return to you empty, so we pray that you might speak through it to help us know and serve the Lord Jesus more and more. In Jesus' precious name, amen. When Ange invited me to give this word of encouragement, I faced the speaker's dilemma as someone whose usual gig this is not. What should I speak on? Well, I spent many years teaching the Bible to university students. In my new role, my latest talk was on AI policy risks, which you can ask me later. I knew I didn't need to follow the weekly sermon series, leaving lots of choice. And I knew it's Mother's Day, and so a special focus on the women who are here. And so I did the one thing that Ange would want me to do. I found the nearest tarot cache to try and muster up as many illustrations as I could find, because we know Ange loves a tarot cache moment. But seriously, as I sought the Lord and searched the scriptures, two words stood out. Wholehearted devotion. They capture something of the quality of ordinary faithfulness that I've witnessed growing up here at Ngawi. But it's also the character of the kind of people we want to be as we walk with the Lord into the future. People of wholehearted devotion. But what is wholehearted devotion? Well, it's a life oriented toward the Lord Jesus, where your head and your heart and your hands are guided by him, a person fixed on him, and as a result, seeing his life flow out into your world. At the same time, I was reading Jennifer Powell McNutt's new scholarly work on Mary Magdalene, and before my eyes unfolded a real example of a woman whose life was marked by wholehearted devotion to Jesus. Bingo. I'm not sure about you, but I love a pop-up card. We all know that a normal card is just a requirement to get to the next bit, the gift. But a pop-up card is delightful in itself. As you open it and it unfolds itself to show you its picture in three dimensions, its fullness and beauty, it's a feat of art, of engineering, and it's a surprise. A pop-up card is a delight. But I think sometimes when we see women in scripture, we see them as two-dimensional. We see them as the things to gloss over to get to the good bit. But today we want to open the scriptures to see it unfold Mary Magdalene in three dimensions. As God points to her in all her beauty and uniqueness and fullness of her character and actions, and as she clearly points us back to Jesus. To do this, we'll draw on three snapshots from Scripture, three moments of Mary Magdalene's life alongside the Lord Jesus, and see what living a life of wholehearted devotion to Jesus looked like for her and can look like for us. But before we dive in, I actually have to start with a confession that I got my Marys muddled, and maybe you have too in the past. I spent a few weeks sketching a bit of a plan of how to speak about Mary M. I was going to look at her life as a prostitute, washing Jesus' feet in Luke 7, and then the scene where she's learning from Jesus' feet with her sister Martha. You might know the problem. I was completely wrong. Mary was never a prostitute. She's not even Martha's sister. Mercifully, I did find myself to be in good company that actually we have a long tradition in the church of getting our Marys in a muddle, with no less good company than Pope Gregory, who was called the Great. I assume that was not for his exegetical skills. He was in the 6th century, and he started the tradition of muddling all of these women and conflating them into the person of Mary Magdalene. We have long gotten our Marys in a muddle. So who was she really? Mary Magdalene is more than a side character in God's story. It might interest you to know that she is the most mentioned woman in the New Testament by name, with 14 times more than Mary, Jesus' mother, and more than most of the disciples. She's consistently identified by her own name, which means that she is from Magdala, her hometown, and uniquely, she is never referenced in relation to any man, no one's wife or daughter, sister or mother. Every gospel account records her presence as chief witness of Jesus' life, death, burial, and the empty tomb. What is clear from Scripture is that Mary Magdalene is a deeply faithful disciple of Jesus and a woman God wants us to know as she points us to Jesus. So let's turn to our first snapshot of Mary Magdalene. The first reference we have to Mary Magdalene is in Luke 8:2. Read along with me. After this, Jesus travelled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out. The first thing we know about Mary is that she had been under the control of 7 demons. Yes, evil forces controlling her mind, her heart, her body. And Mark's Gospel clarifies that it was Jesus who cast them out of her. So what would that have been like for Mary to have been under the power of demons? Well, the Bible doesn't quite show Mary's story in that way, but it does give us a vivid picture in other parts of the Gospel of the torment of that kind of life. Like the woman in Luke who's bent over by an evil spirit for 18 years. Or a boy in Mark 9 who has an unclean spirit and is tormented and controlled and repeatedly thrown into a fire. His family are desperate to see him released from this power. Or you might remember the demoniac who lives in the Gerasenes, the graves outside the cities. A man living among the dead, crying out, harming himself and impossible to restrain. Until Jesus. To be possessed by demons was to be subject to the power of evil, that no willpower could tame, no ordinary person could fix, and no community could carry. As one with 7 demons, Mary would have been one with no help and no hope. Until Jesus. Jesus coming with the power and perfection to bind up evil and rescue its victims from its grip. As an aside, I find it quite ironic that for centuries we've slapped a label of prostitute onto Mary Magdalene. I wonder if it's actually because we find that label more shocking for a woman than what she actually was, the literal embodiment of evil. Don't you find that strange? But we still have a tendency to stick labels on women, don't we? Often sexualized or demeaning, you know the ones. They're kind of cheap reads of women. But Jesus doesn't miss the reality. He sees her for who she is, but he doesn't leave her as she is. He sees her as desperate, but has the power to meet it, and he casts the evil out of her. For Mary, her life of brokenness gives way to healing. Her life of torment gives way to peace. Her life of bondage gives way to freedom. Her life of sin gives way to wholeness because of Jesus. How can Mary, so filled with evil, be traveling with the perfect one of God in Luke 8? It's because of his love and power. Mary is fully healed, fully whole. But what do we do with that? What corners of our life do we see sin and evil still at work? Do I and do you truly believe that we can be fully healed and fully whole through Jesus? Do you know that the evil and the brokenness that has been part of your past does not have to define your future? That we have the opportunity to put off sin and put on the wholeness that Jesus brings. Like Mary, focus on Jesus, trust in his power, and be fully healed, fully whole. So what was Mary Magdalene's life after this? Let's go back to Luke 8. We'll read again. After this, Jesus travelled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had come out, Joanna, the wife of Chuza, the manager of Herod's household, and Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. The first thing to notice from this text is that Jesus is traveling from town to town with a wider group than just his 12 disciples. I was surprised by this, and it included women. Jesus' party was like concentric circles with Jesus and his disciples at the center, but then others around the edges. And the women, they were disciples too. They were learners at Jesus' feet. To travel with a rabbi meant that you were sitting under his teaching and being shaped by his way. Mary Magdalene's devotion was formed on the road with Jesus. As she listened and learned at his feet like the others, like I might say, Ange is my pastor, Mary called Jesus my teacher. And these women traveled from Galilee to Jerusalem, hearing him teach and interpret parables, teaching God's word and expounding what the kingdom of God is like. Just like the disciples, this is what Mary is hearing. The second thing to notice from this excerpt from Luke is that the women were also serving at the feet of Jesus. That Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Susanna were helping to support Jesus out of their own means. In other texts, it says that they followed him and they cared for him. Far from being poor prostitutes, these were a group of wealthy women who were helping Jesus' work, touching even the household of Herod Antipas, the tetrarch or mini king of Galilee. Church historian McNutt encourages us to perhaps think of Mary as maybe even an older person, a widow, who has the means and the freedom to travel with Jesus like this and to support him. So we see Mary Magdalene learning and serving at the feet of Jesus, as one growing and giving in sacrificial generosity to support Jesus' mission. One of the real precious gifts of growing up here at Ngawi is that my parents insisted on being a family that shows up. They were committed to the gift of presence. I wasn't such a fan of that for much of my adolescence, but it was the habit of showing up week in and week out, often two services on a Sunday because I had older sisters. While I didn't love it as a kid, I now know that that builds thick friendships, thick relationships among God's people. Relationships of learning and serving together with people before me, older than me, like aunties and uncles, peers alongside me, and those who are coming after me. That's what we get here on a Sunday when we turn up. As I prepared, the names and the faces of so many of you crossed my mind. Ange will even testify that I couldn't actually even speak this section. I think of the countless stream of women who showed up at our door during hard times and good times. I think of Faye and Ruth, who would pull a younger me aside and encourage me to keep leading or serving. I think of Kath, who would tell me on the front porch that she was praying for my kids. And I think of Val and Pam and Emily, who've served the Lord overseas, stepping boldly into new cultures with Jesus' love. I think of the Joys, the Jans, the Supics, the Catherines, the Petras, the Megans, the Robins, the Cheryls, the Gwens, the Jeanettes, the Miriams, the Stephs, the Debs, the Gemmas, the Monicas, the Marias, the Fridas. I could go on. It's such a blessing to see your faces. sisters who have been an endless encouragement, women who have shown up week in, week out, to learn, love, and serve at the feet of Jesus in this place. Like Mary Magdalene, you are sisters who are a precious encouragement to continue to learn and to serve the Lord Jesus. So what do we take from this picture of wholehearted devotion of learning and serving at the feet of Jesus? Well, my encouragement is don't grow tired of the gift of showing up. It leads to thick relationships, and it is a blessing that flows out into the world around you, in the lives and the families, and in this church and community beyond. And on this Mother's Day, can I remind you that these things don't happen alone? My brothers, dads, husbands, friends, keep enabling the women in your life to learn and serve as they are able. Speaking a word of encouragement, helping them go to that conference, inviting them to get involved in serving, or helping them grow by digging deeper into theological study. Like Jesus and his group of male and female disciples, let's learn and serve together in this place, devoted to him. We now turn to our third snapshot, which is the passage read from John 20. This is more of a video reel than a snapshot, and so I hope that we can step into this for a minute and let Mary Magdalene come to life. Mary has awoken before dawn in the crisp morning air, in the short days after witnessing Jesus on the cross. She's going to get to the tomb. You can imagine her. She may move slower than normal because of the exhausting days after the death of a loved one. Her eyes are probably swollen and heavy because of the many tears and great sadness. Her hair's a bit unkempt because who's got time to bother with such things? And her arms might be tucked under her to keep the bite of the pre-dawn air out. While Matthew's gospel says she is the only, there are other women carrying spices with her to anoint Jesus' body, in John's account, she cuts a lonely figure with eyes focused on being where Jesus is. As she arrives at the tomb, to her surprise, the cold stone that stood sentry over Jesus' body has been removed. A gaping hole between the lively street and the deathly tomb, a literal doorway between life and death, is open. Suddenly, she is wide awake. The feelings of panic and urgency rise in her body, and she runs and runs and tells the disciples. She arrives, and the words tumble out of her breathless mouth. They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him. Who is the they? Maybe the Romans, maybe the Pharisees. Doesn't really matter. Jesus isn't there. Peter and John make for the tomb, running, but when they arrive, it's empty. They still don't understand from the scriptures that Jesus had to rise from the dead. So they go home. But not Mary Magdalene. She stays. She's crying outside the tomb, maybe crashing after the roller coaster of the last few days, and she peers in for one last look. And where she expected to see emptiness, she sees two angels who speak to her, "Mary, woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Now, in scripture, angels are always like the bat signal that God is doing something extraordinary. It's like God putting an exclamation point, a giant sign saying something weird is going on here, pay attention. Mary then turns around. She sees a gardener and she explains her distress. "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him. I will get him," Mary always focused on Jesus. Then Jesus says her name, Mary. Like a sheep hearing their shepherd, she knows him immediately. And she turns to him and cries out, Rabboni, my teacher. And like one who has found their greatest treasure, she grasps him. What a reunion. He is risen. He healed her, he taught her, and now he leads the way through death and out the other side before her very eyes. What joy Mary must feel in her heart. He who is dead is now alive. But Jesus is still on mission, and he sends this faithful disciple, a former demon-possessed woman from Magdala, a woman who couldn't even testify in court in her day. She carries the testimony of the risen Lord Jesus. Mary goes straight to the disciples, with heart-bursting joy, declares to them everything he has told her, and the wonderful news, I have seen the Lord. There's something more than just the message that is conveyed in this moment. In the 4th century, Ambrose, the Bishop of Milan, said this about this moment. And rightly is a woman appointed as messenger to men, that she who first had brought the message of sin to man, meaning Eve, should first bring the message of the grace of the Lord. This is a fall overturning moment. She is the apostle to the apostles, the messenger to the messengers. I don't know about you, but this story makes my heart race for joy. I love the delight that God has in placing this woman where she is, so unexpectedly, but also so purposefully. She is the one who carries the good news. And women continue to carry the good news today. One of the cool things I get to do in my job at Anglican Deaconess Ministries is to be able to support and enable women to bring the love of Jesus to a hurting world. Wherever women are, we are carrying the gospel that we have seen the Lord to other people in particularly unique ways for women. One inspiring woman that I've come across is Carolyn Windy, a Pitjantjatjara woman from the Arayonga community in the Northern Territory. This is Carolyn, and that's the painting that she has done, which is a work that tries to teach the creation story to kids using the art and stories of her people. The goal is that she can explain God's story through her people's stories, and that they might take it back to country. This is just one way in which God continues to use women to be faithful witnesses and messengers to the ends of the earth. My sisters and brothers, where is God inviting you to declare, I have seen the Lord today? Well, we've had our three snapshots of Mary Magdalene in Scripture. In church tradition, Mary Magdalene lived out her life in the south of France, in Marseille, and you can even visit the church of Mary Magdalene there today. But we started with our two-dimensional picture of Mary Magdalene, didn't we? The one that just tries to get us to the good stuff. However, God's word has invited us to trade that in for the pop-up card of wholehearted devotion to Jesus that this woman from Magdala is. Through Jesus, we see Mary Magdalene was fully healed and fully whole, living a life powerfully transformed from darkness to light. She spent her days learning and serving at the feet of Jesus, an example for us to follow. And she is his faithful witness and messenger to the end, the one who spent her life testifying, I have seen the Lord. But more than that, she leaves us an example of wholehearted devotion, of living a life focused on Jesus. May we, with God's help, live lives of wholehearted devotion in this place, among this people, serving this community. May we be people fixed on Him with thick relationships, seeing His life flow out from us into the homes, communities, and the world around us. With God's Spirit helping us, may we point clearly to Him on the day we stand face to face with Him and, like Mary Magdalene, declare, "I have seen the Lord." Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, risen and reigning, thank you that you met Mary Magdalene in her darkness and called her by name. Meet us now with the same mercy and power. Forgive our sins, break what binds us, turn our hearts back to you. Transform us into be people of wholehearted devotion, steady in worship, generous in service, and bold in witness, so that in our homes, our church, and our world, we might gladly say, "I have seen the Lord." In Jesus' precious name, amen.